There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we are, and away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Hey, y'all, Sean Sullivan, live local talk over the next couple of hours, and your chance to interact, pretty easy to do. Phone lines, 343-0106, text lines, same number. Also, you can reach out, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Same thing on Twitter, at FM Talk 106.5. Heck, you catch us over at Instagram. Although, don't we need to put something up there? Right, so pictures or something today. We need to populate. We need to populate some more things on the Instagram page. Also, I got my personal Instagram one too, but that's just like less news and more pictures of sunsets and stuff like that, which a whole other thing over there on Instagram. All right, coming up on the show today, 6.5 stories as always with Dalton Orwig. That'll come in hour number two of the show. This hour, Brendan Kirby is going to join us. Also, Brendan bringing a part of the family with him. We'll talk about that and why coming up in just a little bit. But I will talk to Brendan about the president's speech this morning and those robust numbers for GDP. Economy surging in the April-June quarter to an annual growth rate of 4.1%, the fastest pace since 2014, according to the Commerce Department, driven by consumers who are spending their tax cuts, and exporters who rush to get their products delivered ahead of the retaliatory tariffs. That is the one trap door in this. Was it artificial because this push to get in ahead of possible tariff implementation? I don't know. But the president talked about it this morning. The numbers are looking... They also adjusted the previous quarter's numbers up by 0.2% from 2 to 2.2%. So things are two quarters in a row looking good in growth. President spoke to the nation about that this morning, and let's go to that. Here is President Trump from earlier today.
Good morning. Moments ago, the numbers for America's economic growth, or GDP, were just released. And I am thrilled to announce that in the second quarter of this year, the United States economy grew at the amazing rate of 4.1%. We're on track to hit the highest annual average growth rate in over 13 years. And I will say this right now, and I'll say it strongly, as the trade deals come in one by one, we're going to go a lot higher than these numbers, and these are great numbers. During each of the two previous administrations, we averaged just over 1.8% GDP growth. By contrast, we are now on track to hit an average GDP annual growth of over 3%, and it could be substantially over 3%. Each point, by the way, means approximately $3 trillion and 10 million jobs. Think of that. Each point, you go up 1 point. It doesn't sound like much. It's a lot. It's $3 trillion and it's 10 million jobs. If economic growth continues at this pace, the United States economy will double in size more than 10 years faster than it would have under either President Bush or President Obama. Perhaps one of the biggest wins in the report, and it is indeed a big one, is that the trade deficit, very dear to my heart because we've been ripped off by the world, has dropped by more than $50 billion. $52 billion to be exact. It's dropped by more than 50. Think of that. The trade deficit has dropped by more than $50 billion. And that's added and adding 1 point to GDP. That's a tremendous drop. We haven't had a drop like that in Long time. You'll have to go back a long time before you find it. By increasing growth to 3% over the next 10 years, that would mean 12 million new American jobs and $10 trillion of new American wealth, at least. And that's not including the fact that since I was elected, we've created approximately $7 trillion of new wealth. The year before I came into office, private business investment grew at only 1.8%. Last year, it jumped to 6.3%. That was my first full year. We had to do a lot of things to get it to grow. And this year, it's growing at 9.4%. So that's a very tremendous increase. There hasn't been an increase like that in many, many years, decades. And I think the most important thing, and Larry Kudlow just confirmed to me along with Kevin Hassert, that these numbers are very, very sustainable. This isn't a one-time shot. I happen to think we're going to do extraordinarily well in our next report, next quarter. I think it's going to be outstanding. I won't go too strong because then if it's not quite as good, you'll not let me forget it. But I think the numbers are going to be outstanding. We've accomplished an economic turnaround of historic proportions. When I came into office, 1.5 million fewer prime-age Americans were working than 8 years before. We had lost almost 200,000 manufacturing jobs under the previous administration, and you know, all know, they say, well, you have to lose manufacturing jobs. It'll get worse and worse. Manufacturing jobs are obsolete. No, they're not obsolete. They're the greatest jobs we have. More than 10 million additional Americans had been added to food stamps past years. But we've turned it all around. Once again, we are the economic envy of the entire world. When I meet the leaders of countries, the first thing they say invariably is, Mr. President, so nice to meet you. Congratulations on your economy. You're leading the entire world. They say it almost each and every time. America is being respected again, and America is winning again because we are finally putting America first. Everywhere we look, we are seeing the effects of the American economic miracle. We have added 3.7 million new jobs since the election, a number that is unthinkable if you go back to the campaign. Nobody would have said it. Nobody would have even, in an optimistic way, projected it. We are in the midst of the longest positive job growth streak in history. New unemployment claims have recently achieved their lowest level in almost half a century. The African-American unemployment rate has achieved the lowest level in recorded history. African-American unemployment is the best it's ever been in the history of our country. The Hispanic unemployment rate has reached the lowest level, likewise, in history. The Asian unemployment rate has recently reached the lowest level, again, likewise, in history. Women unemployment rate recently reached the lowest level in 65 years, and soon that will be in history. Give it another 2 or 3 weeks. Veterans unemployment is at its lowest level in 18 years, and that number is rapidly going up, on top of which we just received and won from Congress choice where veterans can go out and see a doctor if they can't get service, the service that they deserve. Unemployment for disabled Americans has hit a record low, lowest in history. More than 3.5 million Americans have been lifted off food stamps, something that you haven't seen in decades. 3.5 million Americans have been lifted off food stamps. That's because they were able to go out and get a job. And they're going to love their jobs. 95% of American manufacturers are optimistic about their company's outlook. And that's the highest level also in history. And that's an old survey, been around a long time. Manufacturing wages are expected to rise at the fastest rate in over 17 years. Business and consumer confidence has reached historic highs. So far this year, American exports are up nearly 20%. I've only been here a little more than a year and a half, over the same period in the year before I took office. We've become a net exporter of natural gas for the first time since 1957. Gotten rid of tremendous amounts of regulations, which allows us to do things. And we still have tremendous regulations on clean air, clean water, the environment. It's very important to me, very important to everybody. But we had unnecessary regulations that were hurting our economy and hurting our country. We have eliminated a record number of job-killing regulations. And with the help of Republicans in Congress, we passed, without one Democrat vote, the biggest tax cuts and reform in our history. And as you know, the Democrats want to end that and raise everybody's taxes. That will be a disaster for our economy. As a result, more than 6 million Americans are now enjoying new bonuses, better jobs, and far bigger paychecks. Yet every single Democrat voted against the tax cuts, every single one. We didn't get one vote. They voted against working families. They voted against small businesses. Not good. In the first 3 months after tax cuts, over $300 billion poured back into the United States from overseas. We think it's going to be, in the end, when completed, over $4 trillion will be back into our country. Apple alone is bringing in $230 billion. And they're building new plants. They're building a magnificent campus. They're going to be spending their money very wisely, but they're spending it in our country, not in some other country. That was made possible by the new tax cut and reform plan. At the same time, we are finally cracking down on decades of abusive foreign trade practice. We were abused by companies. We were abused by the companies within countries. But in particular, we were abused by countries themselves, including allies. Abused like no nation has ever been abused on trade before, because we had nobody watching. They stole our jobs and they plundered our wealth. But that ended. Yesterday, I was at Granite City Steel in Illinois. It was an incredible sight. We had an audience of steel workers, some of the roughest, toughest people you've ever seen. And half of them had tears coming down their face. I don't know if these people ever cried before in their life, to be honest. Half of them had tears coming down because we opened a tremendous United States steel plant. They're opening up 7 other plants, and the steel industry is back. They're open for business. And we need the steel industry. And the tariffs did it. And nobody mentions the fact that these plants are creating tremendous numbers of jobs, tremendous. And billions of dollars are pouring into the United States coffers, billions of dollars. But we're getting jobs. We're getting money coming in. We're respected. And eventually, the steel prices will really start to go down because all of these new plants are going to be competing against each other. But we won't have foreign countries dumping, that's the word they use, dumping steel all over the place and destroying our factories, destroying our plants, destroying our companies, and destroying our jobs. Since I was elected, we've added 400,000 new manufacturing jobs. Remember, that was the obsolete deal. Obsolete. I used to say, why is it obsolete? We have to make things. Manufacturing jobs are among our best jobs, and we're just getting started. We've also liberated millions of Americans from the crushing burdens of Obamacare. The cruel individual mandate penalty is gone. That's where you pay a lot of money for the privilege of not having to buy bad health care and pay for it. It's gone. Nobody thought we could get rid of it. That was the most unpopular provision by far probably on anything, but certainly in Obamacare. And Obamacare is now on its last legs, fortunately. And through associated health plans, we're giving Americans the ability, just opened, millions of people going to be signing up, millions and millions. We're giving Americans the ability to join together to purchase much better and more affordable health care and health insurance, including bidding across state lines. So all of the insurance companies are going wild. They want to get it. You're going to have great health care at a much lower price. It will cost the United States nothing. Nothing. Think of that. Will cost us nothing. And that's Secretary Acosta. Secretary Azar is coming out with another health care plan, somewhat different. Result the same, much less expensive health care at a much lower price. Will cost our country nothing. We're finally taking care of our people. Finally, there's another matter that's of profound importance to me, and I wish to discuss it right now before we leave, because there's nothing like what we've been working on, so important for the lives of not only Americans, but lives all over the world. At this moment, a plane is carrying the remains of some great fallen heroes from America back from the Korean War. They're coming back to the United States. Mike Pence, our wonderful vice president, will be there to greet the families and the remains. And I want to thank Chairman Kim for keeping his word. We have many others coming, but I want to thank Chairman Kim in front of the media for fulfilling a promise that he made to me. And I'm sure that he will continue to fulfill that promise as they search and search and search. These incredible American heroes will soon lay at rest on sacred American soil. Even during the campaign, people would come up to me. It's a long time ago, many decades ago. Oftentimes they were older. In some cases they were younger, great-grandfathers. My great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, they asked if I could do something about it. I'd look at them and say, we don't get along too well with that country. They said, whatever you could do. And it's something that was very important to me. Many people have asked that. I've asked the vice president and others to just pay a special tribute, and they will do that. So we honor the sacred memory of every incredible American patriot who fought and died in that war. In everything we do and every action we take, we are fighting for loyal, hardworking, patriotic citizens of our blessed nation. We're making our country great again. We're respected again all over the world. Our military will soon be stronger than it's ever been by far. That in itself will produce thousands and thousands of jobs. Nobody makes equipment like we do. Nobody. Whether it's planes or missiles or any form of military equipment, we make the best in the world by far. We're making it possible for our allies to buy that equipment quickly, where they don't have to wait for two-year approvals and more. We're doing great. And I'm very honored to see that 4.1 number. Perhaps I'm even more honored to see that deficit shrink, the trade deficit shrink so much. With that, I'd like to ask Kevin Hassett, chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, and my very good friend, Larry Kudlow, if they could both step forward and say a few words. Thank you all very much. It's a great day.
All right. If we have time, we'll get to Hassert and Kudlow, which sounds like a crazy radio show name. Hassert and Kudlow in the morning. 1225 FM Talk 1065 at Midday Mobile. So from just a few hours ago, President Trump's comments about the 4.1% GDP, coming in. We'll talk about this some more. And does this continue? Was this a sugar high, or is it good news for our country? We'll talk about it when we get back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1229, FM Talk 106.5. And we'll come back after the bottom of the hour news update. Brendan Kirby's going to join me. Also, his daughter in studio. We'll explain more about that coming up in just a little bit. And it's also National Chicken Wing Day. It's one of the more delicious days on the national calendar here. I would celebrate this way by going to see my friends at Goldfingers. I know I'm always talking about the chicken fingers at Goldfingers, and you can get them fried or, like I've been doing better now, getting them grilled. They're fantastic, but the wings are awesome. So you can go and get a platter with a half the fingers, half wings, or I would just go all wings today since it is National Chicken Wing Day. Hey, go see them in Saraland. They're across from Walmart there in Saraland and across from the McConnell Automotive. Our friends over there, they're kind of across from McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street. And if for some reason you're strange and you do not like chicken wings or chicken fingers, it's okay. They got chicken sliders, quarter-pound hamburgers, BLTs. They also have great salads there. And the sides, how about this? Saratoga chips, crinkle-cut fries, sweet potato fries, baked potatoes, cheese sticks, coleslaw, potato salad, onion rings, and toast. And if you want to look ahead before you go in, make your mind up before you pull up, go to goldfingers.com or just check out the Goldfingers app and download that. So go see them today, Dolphin Street or Saraland. Saraland right across from the Walmart, Dolphin Street kind of catty-cornered across from McConnell Automotive. And tell them you heard about it right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. All right, coming right back, more of the show. Kirby's, it's plural, in studio. This is going to be cool.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday. And good to have Kirby's plural in the studio. I'll get you pulled that mic closer there. And y'all say hello to our buddy Brendan Kirby and his daughter in studio. You're going to be playing some music for us in a little bit as well. This will be a first time ever musical accompaniment for Midday Mobile live in studio. This is good.
Yeah, this gets you back to your roots.
It does. I used to do a lot of these live sets in rock and roll radio, but it's been over a decade. I think I still remember how to do it. We'll be doing that in just a little bit. Do want to pick your brain some on the president's victory lap today on the GDP. And I want to point out, too, that looking at the picture you had put here, you put a picture up on LifeSet.com, the still shot there with the president, and right behind him, of course, Vice President Pence. Just a side note, before we get into the serious part of the GDP number, does y'all help me here. And on the text line, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. In that picture and maybe other places, does Mike Pence look like Race Bannon from The Adventures of Johnny Quest? Remember Johnny Quest?
Yeah, a little bit.
Right?
Got the white hair.
And Pence's hair looks like it's an action figure because it's never really longer or shorter, or it's just always... So you're looking at the picture now. See, it looks just like... Y'all compare and contrast, if you can do some Photoshopping, compare Mike Pence and Race Bannon from Johnny Quest.
That's another brilliant observation.
Thank you. That's what I'm here for. Speaking of brilliant observations, that's what you're here for as well. And so these are good numbers. Best since 2014. What I said, third best, I think, since the start of the Great Recession.
Yeah, these are definitely good numbers. In Trumpian fashion, he called them amazing.
Yes.
And this has
never been the biggest numbers ever.
I would have been shocked if Trump had come out and said, you know, these are pretty good numbers. I don't want to make too much of it.
right.
But yeah, I mean, it's getting really hard for the president's critics to say that the economy is not doing pretty well now. It's rolling along pretty well. One word of caution that the president is probably not accustomed to, it's one report, right?
Right.
Okay, so for one quarter...
Although they did revise the previous quarter up from 2 to 2.2, I think. 2.
And 2.2 is actually a pretty healthy number. The first quarter, we usually see a drop-off.
Sure.
Because it comes after Christmas. And
tell anybody who owns a business, right, unless they're selling Mardi Gras stuff.
Right. Yeah. So 2.2 is pretty good. But, what we haven't seen is sustained growth for a long, long time. Obama was the first president that never had a single year where the growth rate averaged over 4%, since World War II. So every post-war president, I mean, and that includes, you know, Ford, who was like a half-term president, and Carter, who wasn't known for his management of the economy.
Right.
Every president had at least one year where the growth rate was cooking. And under Obama, it never really happened. But we have had good quarters before. And if you go back, I've got my notes here.
Well, I mean, that's one of the questions, too, when you go quarter to quarter versus a trend. And I, you know, thinking about this, because they're putting it in some of the stories out there today that, okay, well, these are good numbers. You know, people are spending their – they're trying to paint a picture, and I don't know. I'd like to bounce it off you that this is a sugar high, because this is money spent that people got back on their taxes, this money, although I would – point out that that will happen if nothing changes going forward, and then that soybean producers and other manufacturers, people made a rush to the market to get things done before the tariffs could kick in.
Sure. I mean, that is true and may have contributed to it, but to argue that a 4.1% growth rate was due to extra purchases of soybeans, it sounds ludicrous.
Also, on the flip side, you could argue that the interest rate increase, which is a real thing, is actually shadowing some of the reality of how big that increase might have been. I mean, the interest rate, you know, that without that interest rate increase, that 4.1 could have been higher.
It could have been higher. We do not have a soybean-based economy. I mean, you know, let's just be real about that. This is a good number, real good number. In fact, Obama's chairman of his Council of Economic Advisors, he's at Harvard now, he had a series of tweets saying, this is a very good report. And when you dig into the internal numbers, you find out that it's a good report beyond the top line. You know, sometimes
and that okay,
sometimes
explain
the
that
top
to people.
Line looks good, and then you go look at the details and you go, it's not very good. And his conclusion was, this is good. Business investment was really high, and that's important because it lays the groundwork for future growth. Consumer spending was strong. This was a strong report. Now, the question is, and we won't know this for, you know, 3, 6, 9 more months, is this the beginning of a trend kind of back to pre-recession normal or not?
And, well, how many times did the president say sustainable? About, is this sustainable? Sustainable.
If you go back to 2014, this is the last time we saw growth like this. In the first quarter, the economy actually contracted a little bit. So we had a terrible first 3 months of that year. But then we came back with a 4.6 number. And then the following quarter after that was 5.2, and then it dropped down to 2, but then it was back up to 3.2. So we had 4 straight quarters where 3 of the 4 were really healthy growth numbers, and it looked at that time like,
we're pulling out of this.
The hangover's finally starting to pull in the high gear. But then after that, it sank back down, and we went down to 2.7, then 1.6, and then 2 straight quarters where it was barely growing at all. And you know, we've been in this 1.9% kind of average growth for a long, long time. Only time is going to answer this conclusively. I mean, I can pontificate. A lot of people who know a lot more about economics can make predictions, but we won't really know until it happens. But that's the question. So this is certainly something to be happy about, and you know, I think the president is justified in taking a victory lap. Any president would. It's a good number,
especially if it's in his control. Meaning, if the top line narrative is this comes from people getting tax money back, getting their money back, getting keep more money, take home pay, and they're spending that. Okay, that he can absolutely take credit for that, right? That's a top line thing you take credit for. And if you can, look at oil exploration or things like that, can take credit. Because sometimes you have GDP comes up, and the executive branch will want to take credit for it, and I'll sit back and go, yeah, y'all just happen to be there when these other market forces, these things happened.
Sure. And I think the president can point to real policy changes that he can plausibly argue are responsible for this, the tax cuts being one. I mean, it's just sort of simple common sense that if you inject more money into the economy, there's going to be more economic activity.
But it's interesting how it happens, right? So that was the idea during the Great Recession and during former President Obama's time, and the idea with whether we're quantitative easing or whatever programs happened, we're going to put money in. Artificial, we're going to shovel-ready projects and all these things. We're going to put money, government's going to put money in. We're going to lower the interest rates very, very low artificially. and we're going to artificially put money into the system, and this is going to jumpstart that engine. This is the carb start, the ether in the engine that's not wanting to run. It can bring it to life, but you see the fits and starts.
That's the difference between a central planning model and an organic model. And what you just talked about was the government is going to direct all this money, and the government's going to decide
where it gets spent.
Right?
Exactly.
We're gonna spend it on these construction projects because we know best. This is where we direct it. When you have broad-based tax cuts, it just goes to the people, and then they make their own decisions. And this is where, fundamentally, I think really smart people fall in this trap. You know, the government is filled with really smart people. Mm-hmm. They graduated from the top schools. They know a lot. And you get deluded into thinking that you know more than you possibly can. And this is why market economies traditionally work better, because it turns out that millions of people making trillions of individual decisions is going to be more efficient in allocating resources than a few smart people. Because a few smart people can't know everything you need to know where best to direct that money.
And we're seeing, and this is, believe me, I don't think this is a 30-year report on, a battle between free market ideas, Keynesian ideas, I don't want to get into that, but if it does go out, I mean, there is a little bit of I'd love to know the actual dollars that were freed up, that people earned, that they didn't have to turn into taxes, right? Those dollars, how many of those dollars went back into the economy through or stayed in savings or whatever they did? But how many of those were freed up versus how many dollars were put in by government during the Great... And listen, they were trying to get this country out of the Great Recession. I understand that. But how many dollars did it take to make the GDP bump a little bit in, let's say, an 09 or a 10, and how many dollars did it take to make the GDP bump in a 2017, 2018?
And in fairness, I think we should point out that the environments aren't the same either.
Correct.
I mean, when Obama was doing all these things...
Yeah, we were in a recession.
We were in a terrible, terrible recession, and he was trying to take emergency measures, whereas Trump inherited an economy that, while it wasn't cooking along at historically high rates, was pretty good.
Well, okay, is this that old argument that the next president takes... takes credit for the things done by the previous president? In other words, is this Obama's economy, and is Trump riding the coattails of Obama's economy, just the way that Obama said he was dealing with the recession that was caused by Bush?
Right. I think it's fair to say a little bit that you could argue that this is partially Obama's economy. But what is undeniable is that all the predictions that we saw right after Trump was elected, that we were
he would never make 3%
or global depression.
Yeah.
It's going to be a global depression.
Yep, remember that.
Paul Krugman of the New York Times, who is not only
we'd be in every war and it'd be a global depression.
Right, it'd be a global depression. And Paul Krugman, when is the stock market going to recover? Never. That's just refuted by facts. I mean, that's not the case. So if you don't want to give Trump any credit for the economy, that's fine. But, you have to at least acknowledge that he hasn't destroyed the economy.
Right. All right. We'll grab some calls on this and your text when we get back at 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus, that's going to get... Cassie, that is going to get you in trouble. Mini Kirby. No, listen, Cassie on Twitter, she's the big Kirby. She happens to let her dad chauffeur her around. We'll show you why here in just a second.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Another great event happening tonight at Cottage Hill Package. Hunter from Southern Prohibition Brewing Company will be out there starting at 6 for another great tasting event right there at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Southern Prohibition Brewing Company out of Hattiesburg is going to be debuting some, bringing some old favorites to the mix. Listen, if you've never had any of their beers, they'll all be new to you, like their Devil's Harvest Breakfast IPA, which, by the way, was named Best Session IPA by Pace Magazine in 2016, their Crowd Control Imperial IPA, their Icebox Lemon Ghost, their Susie B. Blondale, and a couple other beers as surprises. And that happens tonight at 6. And while you're there, of course, a great, a huge, a monstrous selection of craft beers and great spirits and wine, and that selection of hand-wrapped cigars. The humidor that's so big it has its own park ranger. Well, that's Bill, he's a tobacconist, but I've suggested, Billy, if you're listening, I would love to get you like a park ranger's hat, and you could lead tours through there. Y'all check them out, Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, cottagehillpackage.com. On Facebook, just look for Cottage Hill Package. And coming soon, the Havana Ray Lounge to Midtown. So we'll hopefully see you there, and go by and say hello to Andrew, Michael, and Ray, all the Manus boys, and tell them Sean said hello. All right, 1253 FM Talk 106.5, and we're enjoying some time with the Kirbys. Usually I'm just talking to a single Kirby, as in Brendan, but your daughter, and I'm going to get the mic pulled here closer. Your daughter has come to the studio. Yeah, you can just pull that mic. It's okay. Just pull it right down there, and there we go. Now it works. And Mariah's in here to do some analysis of the GDP. Although you could do that, though. Could do that. What, I mean,
maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think.
You would think. I mean, she's going to be entering the school of math and science.
Right.
Here. So
she's
think that those
smarter
math
than both of us. So why are we talking?
So you would think that if someone that goes to school with math in their name would know something about numbers and GDP. Right.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So as we're kind of crunching these numbers, we may have some musical accompaniment.
Yeah, musical interlude. And I mentioned off air, I think your ratings are going to go up because
yes.
She's got friends that are of a demographic that, you know, let's face it, don't usually listen to talk radio, political
yes.
talk radio. They're going to be tuning
people
in.
People that aren't old sticks in the mud
right,
like us.
Exactly. And this is
welcome, younger folks. We're glad to have you.
And of course, you know, So they come for the music.
Yes.
And they stay for the Sean Sullivan analysis.
Good. So we're trying to convert
them.
You've
got to keep them.
Right. So we have the music here. But yeah, after that is gone, we'll still be here talking about stodgy old people stuff.
Right.
And hopefully y'all will get into it as well. we're going to do a little music here and then stick around a little bit after the top of the hour.
Sure.
Because you brought something else up I want to get into, as it's not very often I got you in studio. But let's talk about this. So I've seen you playing songs on Facebook, and I've not gotten out for the live show, but I've seen you on Facebook, and you just blew me away.
Well, thank you.
Fantastic. So let's talk about how you get into not only playing music, but writing.
I mean, I don't know. I've been playing music because I learned piano when I was way younger.
And yeah, way younger. How old are you now?
I'm 15.
So way younger, back in the day,
when I was like 7, 8.
Well, that's pretty good. That gives you a good base. So you've been playing music since then.
Mm-hmm. And this past year, I learned guitar because it was an elective at Daphne High, where I went this year for 9th grade. So I learned guitar, all the basic stuff, you know, and then I've been teaching myself the ukulele since I got one for Christmas.
Now that's cool, because the ukulele is like a guitar that travels well. I mean,
yeah.
You can pack it away.
It's small. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's easier to play. It's way easier to play.
So you have the basics, I guess, with piano and how music theory works and mm-hmm. reading music. And then how hard is that transition into a string instrument?
I don't know. It's not too hard. I really like, I don't know, when I first started playing guitar, it wasn't like super easy at first or anything, but it was nice. I don't know. It was just really cool. It's such a cool feeling to play the guitar. Just like, I don't know. It's like, it's a much more like, when
it's
you're playing
cool. As you say, it's cool. It's cool. And I'm, you know, as a fan,
you can feel really free and like energized when you play the guitar, and you have to like focus on it. But like, it's a very different kind of focus than when you're playing the piano or the flute.
Very good. So you've used this. The songs I've seen you play here, you're using the guitar, the ukulele. Do you write those specifically for that instrument? I mean, when you're writing a song, do you have a ukulele in your lap? Do you have a guitar in your lap?
It depends. There's some songs I can translate, but there's some songs where, like, I have an idea for a song to write, and I'm just like, this would sound good on the ukulele. And sometimes it's because, so I have very tiny hands.
Yeah.
And there's some chords, like, shapes on the guitar that are hard for me to play.
Yep.
And they're easier on the ukulele. And some songs, yeah, so it's just like, sometimes, like, I'll start writing a song on the guitar, and I'll be like, oh, this would sound better on the ukulele, or I'll start on the ukulele, and I'll switch to guitar, so it depends.
All right, well, why don't we do some music here? You want to do something for us?
Sure.
All right, we're going to go to guitar or ukulele? We're going to go guitar?
Guitar, yeah. I'm gonna.
Your mic awareness is amazing as well, by the way. I mean,
thank you.
That right there, if I could get adults to have your mic awareness, I'd be.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. All right, so we're going to go guitar here the first. And I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll probably get the guitar ready. Let's do this. We'll get the guitar ready. And Mariah, we'll give you a second. We'll go to the news break and then come back and play some tunes. Sounds good?
That sounds great.
Okay, so we'll give you a little bit of time here. And then we'll come back and play some music. And y'all can see what I've been talking about. Because when I saw this this performer on Facebook, I said, wow.
Oh,
wow.
Thank you.
You're fantastic.
So much to me.
You are and then wrote music for your grandparents as well. I mean, impressive. All right, 12:57. We'll come right back. Play some tunes. Also coming up next hour, Dalton Orwig and 6.5 Stories. I think Dalton and I both are pretty good on the kazoo. We may add the kazoo into 6.5 Stories, and I think I have a slide whistle somewhere in my office back there.
We can add that. The triangle.
The triangle would be good for you. Were you musically inclined?
I was not.
Right. Were you like me? They said, yeah, you play the recorder or the triangle. I was in that department. Yeah, I was there too. All right. Coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.